Blog Talk Radio.
He is the last of his kind. All that remains of a once powerful nation. Some think he is a myth. Some believe he is the chosen one who will bring balance to a world at war. And some will stop at nothing to destroy him.
Welcome, Moors, to Moors Talk Live 100. I'm your host, Tahako Amanuel Bey, and we have an exciting lineup for you today. Today we will have a special guest with us, the Grand Sheikh Joel Braddon Bey of the Moorish Science Temple, the Divine and National Movement of North America Incorporated, Temple Number 13, Moorish American National Republic. And he's going to be speaking on various ways the Moors are recognized inside the country, what makes Moors of the National Republic free men and women in America, and what does Leviticus 25:10 in your Bible, what part does that play in the Moorish movement? But before we go forward with this broadcast, we want to make sure that we get our announcements out. First of all, we are offering now, as we've gotten all the glitches out of the way, we are offering our free articles that we once did before of the 14th Amendment Exposed, as well as the Commerce Game, and you access that by simply contacting me at tahaka99@yahoo.com. That's tahaka99@yahoo.com, and I'll get that to you as an email attachment. So if you would just send me a little note, say give me the articles that you spoke about on your broadcast in an email, and we'll get that to you. That's tahaka99@yahoo.com. I would like to extend a warm congratulations to all the brothers and sisters that have gained access to Hawker's archives, the library, and I would just like to extend congratulations to you and let you know that we have added new information to the library as early as this morning. So there's a ton of information there. We've added some new links for you, and that is one of the most comprehensive libraries in the United States. And the way you access that is simply by contacting me by telephone, area code 904-303-9061, before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we get you hooked up with that. Or either you can request information on your archives by my email address, tadaka99@yahoo.com. Also, I would like to add that for those of you who are living in the city in of Jacksonville, Florida, if you're listening to this broadcast, on the 19th and 20th, we will be graced by the presence of Dr. Kaba Hawatha Kamene, a.k.a. Dr. Booker T. Coleman, teacher, scholar, researcher, and historian. And we will also have an additional guest speaker, Brother Joseph Coswell, will be here on the 19th and 20th, right down here in Masjid al-Salam at 1625 North Pearl Street in Jacksonville, Florida. Now, if you want to call for your tickets and stuff in advance, you simply call Brother Omar Sharif at area code 904-359-0980. That's on the 19th and 20th. Dr. Booker T. Coleman will be here in Jacksonville, Florida, live, and the brother will be dropping some heavy information. And he will also have an additional guest speaker here, Brother Joseph Carswell, for those of you all who have heard this brother lecture. Very, very powerful lectures. They will both be here on the 19th and 20th. And for your ticket information, you just contact Brother Umar Sharif at area code 904-359-0980. And the brother has a very, very unique gift shop as well that's down here. He provides books, CDs, DVDs. He's got black soap, moisturizing lotions, 100% imported oils, African gold, black stone. He's got silver cashmere, herbal teas, new body products, hair pomade, incense. Now, the incense, I've just gotten some of that today, and that is some good stuff. And his insects are very, very fresh and succulent, and there are many, many other items. And you can also visit the brother's website at www.salammasjid.com. That's www.salammasjid.com. And you can order your products right there online, or you can call him at his telephone number, 359, area code 904-359-0980. Okay. Once again, I would like to say congratulations to those brothers and sisters who've gotten your library, and I know you won't be disappointed. I haven't had anything but rave reviews from those people who have gotten it. They are able to aid their children in a proper education. There's material that you can print off, or if you want to read it online or however you want to do it, it's up to you, and you can take those articles inside the school system and be able to refute some of the lies and misinformation that's being given them. And I would just like to say once again, thank you, and to check your library. Those of you who have already gotten your libraries in the past, check your library, because we've added a ton of new information this morning in there, and there'll be more on a regular basis, okay? Now, for those of you who are on your social sites, if you're on Facebook, if you're on Dig, or if you're on Twitter, if you've just hook up with me. Send me your friend request. I'll go ahead and grant that. You'll have access on Facebook to Hawkins Morris American Group, to Hawkins New Morris Group. You also have to Hawkins Institute, and this is where we are placing our articles. All my shows land there, as well as you're able to get a video education right there on those sites by simply sending me a friend request to Tahaka Amana L. Bay. And I'll go ahead and grant that, and that give you access to that wall. Same thing on Twitter. If you're on the Drop Squad, hit me up there. Black Talk Radio. For those of you who would like to re-listen to this broadcast, you can go to www.ancientblacksinasia.blogspot.com. Okay? Now, we're going to go on into the broadcast, and I see that my guests have arrived, and the Grand Sheikh Joe Breton Bey is here, so I'm going to go ahead and open up the lines and get the brother in, and we're calling our area code 410. Area code 410. Grand Sheikh, are you there?
Yes, I am, Brother Tahaka.
All right, all right. Welcome to Morris Talk Live 100, brother. Peace. I'm glad you are here. And we'll be able to lay down some information here for the people that are listening this evening. And I want to start out by giving thanks to the Holy Prophet, Noble Drew Ali, and to give superb thanks to the great Creator, the great God, who's responsible for all of us being here, and to say praises due to Allah, and that is my prayer to Him. Brother, if you would like to open up before you start with the special prayer, we'd be more than glad to hear from you.
Okay, brother, thank you so much. I'd like to thank you and your staff for giving me the opportunity to be present on your show this evening. First, I rise and giving all perfect praise to Allah and all his divine prophets, Jesus, Muhammad, Buddha, and Confucius, and our last and most illustrious prophet, who's the last of the Hebrew prophets in this day and time, is the most honorable prophet, Noble Drew Ali. Thank you.
Okay. Islam, brother. Islam.
Islam.
Okay, brother, before we get started, could you tell us something, give us a little background on yourself personally, and tell us about the Moorish Americans and the National Republic.
Okay, I'd be more than glad to. Well, in reference to myself, I've been in the movement since 1975. I'm 65 years old, and I was one who went on a quest searching for the truth regarding myself and seeing how this ties into the conditions of our people. And I've been to various religious orders trying to find that truth, but finally I have my spirit was shaken to such a degree that it became peaceful when I became a member of the Moorish Science Temple of America. And by that being the case, like I said, I went on a quest dealing with the lessons that I was taught regarding us as a people, man knowing by itself. I was a code enforcement officer for the city of Baltimore for about 38 years. Nine of those years, I was the chief relations specialist for the union, which was called the CMEA. And stemming from that, I've learned quite a bit on dealing with governmental issues and how to deal with people, especially in government. And I attribute that to just being conscious enough to understand that when you're dealing with government officials, it's always best to arm and speak forthright and let them understand that your foundation is solid regardless of what direction you're coming from. And as me being a part of this movement, I found that the more signs symbol the divine and national movement is the only organization in the world that has been established via our prophet Noble Drew Ali to teach us the things necessary to make us better citizens, and the fact that the teachers has enabled us to know ourselves. Our prophet Noble Drew Ali is the only man on this planet in these last days and times that has brought us nationality and birthright. Even though we have other leaders who are historians, doctors, professors, teachers, etc., but no one has brought nationality and birthright. You know, a lot of our educators and our historians, you know, they give you certain information about the African history. But in order for you to really connect the dots, you got to know yourself. And once you know yourself, then you can trail yourself through all the books, because we the people of the book, not one book, but all the books. Why? Because we were first. Out of one, there's many, and out of many, there's one. So, and regarding the Moorish National Republic, we amended the Moorish Science Symbol of the Divine and National Movement of North America Incorporated number 13 to the Moorish American National Republic in 1997. And once we did that, we were strictly government. Nevertheless, the prophet had already established this movement as a religious affidavit, because religion is law and law is religion. And that's the reason why he had to come that way. And when you see what he has done to facilitate our concerns dealing with who we are in the manner that he did it, it's paramount. And there's no one greater than our prophet. And I'm saying that because, like I said, no one has brought us nationality and birthright but him. But yet, there's a lot of schism about him, a lot of people trying to get around him, underneath him. But the government has recognized the system that he has set up for us as a people in order for us to redeem the things that was lost. And it all comes through his divine authority. So as being the Grand Chief of the Republic, and I just want to state the reason why this movement is so great, because as we know as a people, at some point in time, we all can agree that we went into slavery. And as the prophet teaches us, we lost our birthrights in 1774. Why? Because we honored not the creed and principles of our ancient and divine forefathers and strayed after gods of Europe, whom we knew nothing. 5 years later, the marks of slavery was put on us, such as black, Negro, colored, etc. So the question is, how did all this take place? What they did, they threw these names out, colored, Negro, black, African, Negro, colored, black, and they waited to see how it was going to gravitate to the people. And the slaveholder, if his last name was Williams, he would take the first letter of his last name, add two or three numbers to it to indicate that this particular property belongs to him. And the reason why it belongs to him, because he's given that property his name. So anyway, he would take that information to the court, register it under claims and property, and that's how we became registered in the courts, not under the citizenry ledger, but under the chattel ledger, dealing with our status. And what we have to understand our problem is today is how we've been classified and identified. Many times I like to speak about Kunta Kinte because everybody basically has seen that series, but it was a very educational piece. And one of the main important points of it is that we all know that his name was Kunta Kinte. He was a Muslim. He knew his God, his culture, his religion, and everything pertaining to himself. And when the slaveholder got hold to him, he fought hard to keep his name because he knew once he was cut off from his name, he was cut off. So he fought hard to keep Kunta Kinte, but finally they got him to submit, and now he's, I'll say, Toby Jones. So now in his generation, he still knew of himself. But all the subsequent generations, the slaveholders or the powers that be made sure that we did not make no connections about our ancestry because they separated the families, put us here, put us there, and you better not let them know that you could read or write because if you did that, then they would whip you, torture you, or whatever. So therefore, the knowledge of our connection to our ancestry was lost, purposely done so we couldn't connect. And see, the only way that they could enslave Kunta Kinte, they had to do what? Strip him of his name and title. Because he was of Moorish descent when you saw the end of the series. When Aldous Huxley went into his village, all you saw was feathers, red feathers. So the signs of that would show that this brother was of Moorish descent. So at any rate, pertaining to what happened there, you can see what is taking place with us as a people. They stripped us of our names, our God, our religion, and our culture, and they indoctrinated us with their ideology. And then they start allowing us to go to the church, the Baptist church, and if the slave master's name was Jones, then all his slaves were Jones. And if he was a Baptist or whatever, then all his slaves were that. And that's how we became Christianized, and that's how we became churchgoers because of this situation pertaining to our condition. And this went on for quite a while. So the knowledge of ourselves was lost, and we was instilled the consciousness of the slaveholder or the European. From that day to this day, that's why we're in the church today. I'm not talking against the church, but I'm just making reference to the fact that Christianity is not our religion. That was the religion of the slaveholders, and you can trace it back to that segment dealing with Kunta, and you can see what took place. We didn't know our religion because they made sure that we wasn't connected. So here it is, we fought a civil war, and the South was winning the war until President Lincoln emancipated us. January 1st, 1863. It was called the Supplemental Emancipation Proclamation, but in that preamble of that proclamation, they alluded to a date, and that was September 22nd, 1862. That was called the Initial Emancipation Proclamation. You don't see that proclamation. Why? Because that proclamation pertains to the colonization of the land and the compensation. Now, actually, there were four proclamations, but they only make mention of one, which is the January the 1st. And what is illustrative of that proclamation of September 22nd is the Liberty Bell. The Liberty Bell is very symbolic to us as a people. It's a beacon light to guide us back to our ancestral foundation. Because there's a divine inscription on the bell, and that inscription is Leviticus 25:10. Now, you know, the prophet teaches us that the seven is the perfect number of man and the circle is the perfect symbol. So you got 25:10, you got your seven, and you got the 10 going back to the Godhead. So this particular scripture is what they used to free us, the Hebrew law, the Mosaic Code. On March 31st, 1864, in the Senate, they debated the whole slavery issue. And see, the thing is, well, why would they use the Hebrew law to free us, a bunch of Negroes? That's because man descended nature doesn't change. Whoever your forefathers were, that's who you are. There's no such thing as a people called Negro, black, colored, etc. These were marks of slavery. This was the creation of the slave master. Mm-hmm. What you were 10,000 years ago, you still that today. So when you look at this Liberty Bell, the Kraken, it represents the Mississippi River, which is just an extension of the Nile River. And when you turn the bell upside down, it's the outline of the promised land that we were to inhabit once we were set free. And it consists of over 22 states. The whole interior region of this country is called Egypt of the West, the great body of the Republic. And it lies between the Rocky Mountains and the Allegheny Mountain chain. And as you know, a lot of these tornadoes are going through this particular land base, and it's bringing havoc upon the communities. But they are our ancestors in spirit, because our spirit is in the midst. We're in the air. We're in the earth, the water, and the fire. There's no ducking this examination. We are truly special people, and the Creator has always loved us. That's why he sent us our prophets. Just like he's always done in times of old. And being that we're descendants of the royal house of Israel, so what does that mean and how does all that apply? See, when they emancipated us, like I say, they debated the slavery issue on March 31st, 1864, and they said the only remaining law, there's no other law to satisfy the concerns of slavery but this Mosaic / Hebrew law. And by that being the case, this is what the inscription reads. It says, ye shall hallow, and I'm just quoting them. It says, ye shall hallow within the 50th year, proclaim liberty throughout the land to all the inhabitants thereof, and it shall be a jubilee unto you to return every man unto his possession, and to return every man unto his family. So the question is for us, what are our possessions, and what is our family? Many times when you talk to people, they say, yeah, well, we've been here all the time. They didn't bring us across the water in any slave ships. We was here all the time, but they never told you who these people were that were here all the time. Nor did they tell you their inhabitation. But lo and behold, through the grace of Allah, by sending us our prophet, he gave us the foundation of our family. When you read Act 6 of his divine constitution and bylaws, the last three sentences, it tell you that the Moorish Americans are descendants of who? The ancient Moabites, who were given permission to inhabit Northwest and Southwest Africa. So now you know who your family is, and you know where your inhabitation is. But see, this part of the world is also Africa. This is Egypt of the West. This is Northwest Africa over here. The only thing that separates East and West is a water route. Prior to the flood, it was no Atlantic Ocean. It was land there, Atlantis. So if all of that land base was called Africa, which the first true divine name was a Mexican. Mexico is the only country that still clings to that name. So if you had East Africa, now you have West Africa. Like I said, the only thing that separated was the water route. So once the flood came and the land base went down and the water came through, so you have a separation, but it's still all Africa. So that's why this is Northwest Africa over here. This is where everything happens.
Wait a minute. Let me make sure I got this right.
Okay.
So what you're saying is and this is how I'm interpreting this.
Mm-hmm.
The oldest people in the Americas are not the so-called Indians that they gave credit for being a native of the land, but the
mm-hmm.
people of ancient African descent were here first. Am
exactly.
I right in assuming that?
Exactly.
Okay,
and
well if that is true,
mm-hmm.
then that means that the rightful owners of the Americas are the people of African descent. Am I right in?
Yes. Let me clear up something. There's
okay,
no
go
such
ahead.
Thing as an American Indian. All these Indian tribes are Moore's tribes. Because, see, you got to go back to the foundation where the Pharaohs of Egypt gave us permission to inhabit Northwest and Southwest Africa. If I say, brother, we come from Africa, you're looking towards the east. If I say, brother, we come out of Egypt, you're looking towards the east. But this is Northwest Africa, and this is Northwest Egypt. This is Egypt by the west over here. The Holy Land was in the hills of Peru. Jericho was Brazil. And when the Exodus took place, they left from beliefs, going southward and eastward. And the other big lie is that the quarter brought us in Africa across the water and relocated us here. 90% of the slave trade was right around North, South, and Central America. They was exporting us into Spain, into Europe. So now when you deal with man's descent nature, all the inhabitants in this part of the world was of Moorish descent. The Incas, the Mayans, the Aztecs, the Olmecs, all were the same people, just different tribes. And that goes back to out of one, there's many, out of many, there's one. It's just like you have a family reunion. People come in from all over, in the state, out of state, the conversion on Grandmother Mabel's house. And you got different names of the families, different features, complexions, sizes, whatever. But the main thing that they have in common is what? They all are the same family. And the same thing applies to us as a people. There's a DVD called The Real Eve, and that shows how all of humanity was had came from the Moabite woman.
How can we get that? What's the name of that DVD again? How can we get it?
Okay, it's called The Real Eve. You might could go on Google and Google it in. I don't, you know, but it's been a while since that. I guess back in the, back in the 90s, they had, I think it was in the magazine, they had a cover of the Asiatic woman and the brother, and they were saying, who is the real Eve? And anyway, then they gave a depiction of what has taken place with us, how everybody came through our seed. And like I said, I would highly recommend that DVD because then you can see exactly how our bloodline is everywhere. There's no getting around it. See, that's why we're classified as white. It don't have nothing to do with the pigmentation. White means purity. Purity means God. God means rule of the land. And just to deal with that a little deeper, you know, why is it that when you see people and they can pass for Europeans, you know, with the features, the hair and whatnot, and they've been living the life as a so-called white person. But once it's known that that person has some Asiatic blood in them, then that automatically makes that person Asiatic, even though they look like they're white. So what's wrong with that picture? Because of our bloodline. See, our bloodline is more dominant, and as they call it, with the one-drop rule, is more dominant.
Yeah.
But anyway, getting back to this thing about emancipation and why it's so critical. And see, you know, the sad thing about this, brother, is that our folks is wondering why all these atrocities are happening to us, all these injustices are happening to us as a people. And just here recently, a young brother just got shot, 17 years old, by a security guard. He was just coming out the store. I think Michael Bazin, he's doing a piece on that. But it's not just that. It's not isolated. You know, we the last hired, first fired, and all this type thing. Get the most time for the less crime. And all this is because of how we've been classified and identified. And see, one of the main things that we got to look at is the fact that what's going on with this? If we were set free, then set free to do what? And by what? So let's get back to my story, going back to this Liberty Bell. Now, the thing, like the inscription says, to return every man unto his family and his possessions. So now, if the man name was Quincy Kenton, now he's Toby Jones, how he get back to being Quincy Kenton? It's a process. Now, we know the Moors fell. We lost our birthrights in 1774. And when we lost our birthrights, everything shifted. What we had was now lost. It was taken over by someone else. That's why we turned this man's name. So anyway, how do you get back to Quincy Kenton? So when they emancipated us, like I said, they did it according to the Hebrew law. And this law, according to Leviticus 25:10, deals with the process of naturalization. So let me read what Black's Law says about naturalization. In Black's Law, the 5th edition, it clearly states the process. Just like I said, it's a process, man. It says the process by which a person acquires nationality after birth and becomes entitled to the privileges of citizenship. Now, a lot of folks say, well, the prophet didn't bring nationalization. Yes, he did. See, this is the Moore Science Temple. A lot of things that he has brought forth is not out blatantly, but it's inside. It's just like a lot of people don't believe in reincarnation. But if you go to the 101, question 81, it says, who was the first person Jesus reincarnated into? Giving you the word right out. And that answer was Prophet Muhammad the Conqueror. The first. So it said, who was the first person? So if you have a first, then you have a second, third, et cetera, because life is continuous. Man is not the physical, but man is spirit. We've been here many times. Our spirit is old, but these bodies that we're in are young. So we have to come back to learn certain lessons in life in order to move forward to that perfection. But anyway, getting back to what happened to us dealing with slavery. Okay, so now from 1779 to 1865,
uh-huh,
we enslaved. Like I said, we fought the Civil War, and then the South was winning the war until Lincoln emancipated us and we started fighting for our freedom. The turning point of the war was Gettysburg. 7,000 of us died in a half hour at Gettysburg, which they don't tell you. If you ever have an opportunity to go to Gettysburg, go up on a battlefield and you see all these Islamic symbols scattered all around the battlefield. Because that war was an international war. You had other countries involved. It wasn't just between the North and the South. But anyway, we were the ones who turned the tide of the war, chasing the rebels back down South. So now, when they emancipated us, they did it according to the Emancipation Proclamation. Now, some people say, oh, well, that was just a proclamation. It don't mean nothing. No. It was an executive order. It was an executive proclamation. So let's look up the word. When you look up the word emancipation,
could you hold on one second, brother? We're gonna hold that one thought there. We're gonna, but I want to make an announcement now. We got brothers on hold that want to speak, and we're going to get to you. Just hold on a minute, okay? All right, brother, go ahead.
Okay. When you look up the word emancipation, it says the act by which one who was unfree or under the power and control of another is rendered free or set at liberty and made his own master. That's emancipation. Now, this is in the 5th edition Black's Law. Let's go to Emancipation Proclamation. An executive proclamation issued January 1st, 1863 by Abraham Lincoln, declaring that all persons held in slavery and the designated states and victims were and should remain free. So now what the people don't know is that the proclamation was a contractual agreement. See, it started with the initial emancipation of September 22nd, 1862. Like I said, that dealt with the colonization. You know, they talk about the 4 acres and the mule, but no one is talking about that. But all this ties into this. You got the initial emancipation proclamation of September 22nd, 1862. Then you had the compensated emancipation proclamation of December 1st, 1862. Then quite nasty, the January 1st, 1863. Then you have the Oath of Amnesty and Reconstruction of December the 8th, 1863. Then you have the Policy of Freedom that freed us nationwide, which is the 13th Amendment, with its 20 sections. It was ratified by three-fourths of the several states on November 18th, 1865. Illinois was the first state to ratify the 13th Amendment with 20 sections, and Maryland was the second. So when you look at the dateline, Lincoln gave the states 37 years from 1863 to the year 1900 to satisfy the whole emancipation process. But they assassinated him. But nevertheless, even though they did, but prior to him being assassinated, he had already, through the Congress, passed all the policies of freedom that would sustain us as a people. But we don't know what's going on. So, like, when you go back to where the prophet dealt with it when he said slavery ended in 1865. So what does that mean? That means black died, colored died, Negro died, and everything pertaining to slavery died with it. We was not to come out of the year 1865 still being called Negroes, blacks, and colored, because we fought a civil war to get rid of this dehumanization. Because, see, once you allow this man to put black, Negro, and colored on you, you have dehumanized yourself, because you can't connect yourself back to the families of nations that way. So let's look at this contractual agreement. Like I said, the contractual agreement was for 37 years. And then in between this time, they wanted the proclamations on December the 15th, 1862. The vote was 78-52. They wanted the proclamations as permanent parts to the Constitution. You don't see that. Every time you see the Constitution, mainly the first seven articles in the Bill of Rights, you were supposed to see the proclamations, because they go hand in hand with those first seven articles of the Constitution, which is the Morris Foundation. Why the Morris Foundation? Because we already had the government in place when the Europeans came here. We brought them in our house. We didn't have to go into theirs, and we made them part of the Union State Society. Now, when you look at this process, see, a lot of more don't understand that we are the government, because we founded the government. We just brought them into our house. The first seven articles, there's our seven again, substantiate that. Why? Because you had eight more presidents before George Washington. But John Hanson was the man of the hour, because through his administration, everything was put in place as a national entity. He established the Treasury Department, Office of Foreign Affairs, and actually, if it wasn't from him standing on his foundation, because during the Revolutionary War, the delegates left him. Why? Because he didn't have money to pay the troops. And they were disgruntled. So he got in contact with France. France sent him ships and money, and that restabilized the congressional body there, and then all the delegates came back. And see, a lot of people say, well, George Washington was the first. No, he wasn't. He was the first president of the United States of America, but John Hanson was the man of the hour, because he was from Maryland, the 13th state. And John Hanson was the one. How you can determine who the first president was is through the seal. See, he created the first seal of this government that all the presidents use to this day, to substantiate the orders and decrees, whatever they had to sign off on. It came through his administration, because he was first. He had the first seal. And plus, George Washington could have been the first president, because he was a general in the Revolutionary Army. Somebody had to appoint him, and it was John Hanson. So when you go back to the foundation of the government, you've got to look at the Union. A lot of people thought that it was just a political entity, the Union, like the North and the South. But the Union is much older than the Constitution. Out of the Union came the Constitution. And you and commenced with the Articles of Association of 1774, then that further matured into the Declaration of Independence of 1776. Then it became, then it further matured into the Articles of Confederation of 1778. Then it became a more perfect union in 1787 and 1789. But those first seven articles of the Constitution is the Moorish foundation. Why? Because at the Continental Convention of 1787, it was 35 Moors and 20 Anglo-Saxons who made up that constitutional body. But we don't know this. We was in the majority. Why? Because we already had the government there. Philadelphia was the headquarters, and that's why the bell is a landmark to the creator. It's an altar, and it's never to be moved because why? It sits on a latitude grid, which is called the 3630. That catches the west side, and the pyramid of Giza, which is on the 3630, catches the east side. It goes all the way around the planet. And that land between the Rockies and the Alleghenies is what Martin Luther King was talking about in his I Have a Dream speech when he said one day as a people we're going to reach the promised land. But it's not across the water. It's right here. That's the land of milk and honey. And the land of milk and honey means honey is the gold and the milk is the silver. So when you look at
how hold on, brother. Let me get into the time now. We're going to hold that, then we're going to get right back to that. And I'm going to open up this line and let area code 202 in to see if he has a comment or a question.
Okay. How you doing, Tarika?
Tell us who you are and where you're calling from, brother.
This is Brother Kevin out of Connecticut Republic. I'm just listening for now.
Okay. You don't have a question or a comment?
No, sir.
All right. Okay. But before you start, Grand Sheik, let me go ahead and make these announcements again because I have to do this. For those of you who are new, just listening in, we're listening to the Grand Sheik, Joel Bratton Bay of the Moorish Science Temple of Divine and National Movement of North America, Incorporated. Temple number 13, Moorish American National Republic, and he is giving us a breakdown on the Moorish Americans in the National Republic and the history of the Moors inside the United States. And we'll be getting back to him, but first of all, for those of you who just tuned in once again, I would like to let you know that on the 19th and 20th, of this month, the month of March, we will be graced by the presence right here in Jacksonville, Florida, of Dr. Kaba Hawatha Kameen, who's better known as Dr. Booker T. Coleman, teacher, scholar, researcher, historian, and he will be accompanied by a guest speaker, Brother Joseph Coswell, and that will happen right here in Jacksonville, Florida, at 1625 North Pearl Street. And for those of you who are in the city, if you're on your way here, you can make this one of your stops. I guarantee you that you will be totally enlightened from the wisdom of these two brothers. And to get your tickets and more information on what I'm trying to tell you now, you can call Brother Umar Sharif at area code 904-359-0980, and he'll have all your information about your directions, your tickets, and the whole ball of wax right there for you. So that's on the 19th of March and the 20th of March. Dr. Booker T. Coleman, teacher, scholar, researcher, and historian, with his special guest speaker, Brother Joseph Coswell, will be speaking live here at Al Salam's bookstore. And I might add that once you get here, don't forget to inquire about the brother's products and stuff that he have in here. He have the finest products in the country here. He has your books, your enlightenment books, and books on our culture and our story. He has your various soap products, CDs, DVDs, your imported oils and colognes and perfumes. He also have pocketbooks and clothing. He has your Blackstone, herbal teas, new body products, hair pomade, and his incense is the freshest that I've ever had in the city. And he's located right here at 1625 North Pearl Street, and you can go to his website at www.salammasjid.com. That's www.salammasjid.com. And you can visit there, and perhaps you can order some things if you like on your online. Also, I would like to extend once again congratulations to all the brothers and sisters this month who have gotten your access to Hawker's Library, and we've just added a ton of information this morning in there. So you can go in there and look at the new links that are posted. And you can run off copies if you need. If your children want to do some study, there's some new material that you can guide them through so that they will be able to have something. So when they go into the public and private school system in the United States, they will have a defense. And those of you who haven't gotten your archive, you can simply contact me at area code 904-303-9061. And we can get that to you, or if you can email me at tahaka99@yahoo.com. That's tahaka99@yahoo.com, and we'll get you some information on that. If you're going to contact me by telephone at area code 904-303-9061, please do it before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That way we can get you all hooked up and set up there. If you have yourself on a social site, you can hit me over there, and we'll grant you friend requests, your connections, or what have you. And you can go over there to Tahaka's Institute or Tahaka's Moorish American Group or Tahaka's New Moorish Group. And there's information there in print form. There's information there in video format. And, of course, all of my shows land there on Facebook, Twitter, Dig, MySpace, the Drop Squad, and Black Talk Radio, you name it. I'm there. So that way there won't be a shortage of information, and you will be able to get your education on with correct knowledge. Okay? Now we're going to go back to the Grand Sheik Joel Bratton Bey as he continues to unravel this thing here inside the United States and give us this information on behalf of the Moorish Americans in the National Republic. Brother, are you still there?
Yes, I am, Brother Tyler.
Okay, I hope you held your place, and so you can go ahead and continue with your listening.
Right, okay. Well, like I'm saying about these proclamations, see, like I said, it was a contractual agreement. But before I move further with that, I just want to explain dealing with what the President Lincoln did for us. Now, he was the 16th president. There's our 7 again, and he was of Moorish descent also. And when you look in Black's Law and look up the word proclamation, let's look up the word proclaim and look up the word proclamation. When you look up the word proclaim, it says to promulgate, to announce, to publish by governmental authority, intelligence of public acts or transactions or other matters important to be known by the people. So now you see that word proclaim in the prophet's literature, Act 6, with us all members must proclaim. Then you also see it in that Levitical code. You shall hallow within the 50th year, proclaim. So now when you look at the word proclamation, it says the act of publicly proclaiming or publishing a formal declaration and involve the act of causing some governmental matters to be published or made generally known, a written or printed document in which are contained such matters issued by the proper authority, usually by a high governmental executive president. So now, the Emancipation Proclamation was an executive order. So let's see what the word executive order means in Black's Law. An order or regulation issued by the president of some administrative authority under his direction for the purpose of interpreting, implementing, or giving administrative effect to a provision of the Constitution or of some law or treaty. To have the effects of law, such orders must be published in the Federal Register. So by him being the president and dealing with these proclamations and making an executive order, then it was absolute. And see, what the people don't realize, that the proclamation is not a debatable issue. You can ask any judge, an intelligent tone, is the Emancipation Proclamation the law of the land? He's going to tell you yes. And being that is the case, then how come we have not adhered to the provisions of it? Because we don't know. Those provisions were naturalization, colonization. Actually, it's reversed. It's naturalization, compensation, and colonization. And they were supposed to have taken this process and implemented and finalized it by the year 1900. But like I said, it didn't happen. And here it is. The war ended in 1865. We supposed to came out as a new nation under our true ancestral names according to the Mosaic Code. Return every man unto his family and his possessions. So the process wasn't implemented for us to be returned. When you read the Dred Scott decision, Justice Taney said the reason why blacks are not citizens because they were never naturalized. He said it three times in his opinion. So let's go back to this Levitical code and see where all that came from, this naturalization process. When you look at Article 1, Section 8, Clause 4 of the Constitution, it says you have to establish a uniform rule of naturalization. So where do you find that in the Constitution dealing with citizenship? But prior to I go to the Constitution, let's go to the progenitor of the word or that process. You got to go back to that Levitical code. So, man, let's check out and see what it says. Because, see, all this is very important. Because we're missing a beat. We think we're citizens, and we are not citizens, can never be until we go through this process of naturalization, because that's the process. Now, here it is in the Senate, March 31st, 1864, the Hebrew law. It says, I remark, said he, in this connection that the Levitical code or the Hebrew law contains a provision for the naturalization of foreigners, whether captives of war or voluntary immigrants. Now, we was captives of war. Then it said, and this is the key part. It says, by compliance with this requirement of this law, they become citizens, entitled to all the rights and privileges and immunities of the native Hebrew. So then many people say, well, that's the Indians. No, they weren't. See, there's a circle. The left half of the circle, when we accepted the marks black, Negro, and colored, the pendulum was coming up around. When we accepted those marks, the pendulum was coming down to the right side. And when our people, the Mobites here in this territory, in this Western Hemisphere, when they accepted the term Indian, that completed the fall. Because all these so-called Indians of Moorish descent. Everybody here in the West was of Moorish descent. Out of one, there's many, and out of many, there's one. And so when you talk to these Indian tribes, you know, they don't like to deal with the dark-skinned Moors because they say they don't have Indian blood in them, which is ridiculous because we are the indigenous people. Don't we look more earthy than anybody else? Even our hair, which we try to disown, is our nappy head, is our antennas to the universe. We special people. We ain't ordinary folks. We descendants of a royal house. So anyway, once we accepted that, when the Moors accepted the term Indian, that completed the fall. So now they really flipping. So when you look at this Hebrew law, because all of us are Hebrews, we are the real Hebrew people. Why? Because of our ancestors. Was not Abraham Hebrew, Moses, Jesus, Solomon, David, the whole house of Israel were Hebrews. Abraham was called Hebrew. If you read Genesis 14:13, it'll tell you that he was the one that was called Hebrew. So all his seed were Hebrews. Jesus was a Canaanite Moabite. He was a Hebrew Muslim. all of us are Hebrew Muslims of Moorish descent, because that's what our ancestors were. They weren't Christians. Abraham, none of them. The whole house of Israel, because see, our history is the Old Testament and 90% of the New Testament, but it was all on this side. See, they got us looking towards the east. They flipped it. But
okay,
if our ancestors were such.
Let's hold that right there. For one more minute, I have a new caller that's popped in and perhaps got a question or comment, and I'm going to call on area code 706. Grand Sheik, hold your place now. We'll take right up where we left off. Just hold on 1 second. Area code 706. Islam, could you tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
Yes, my name is Lord Abbott L. I missed most of the show. I actually had planned to listen to the show because I had several questions for your host, Grand Sheik Joel Bratton Bey. And being that I missed most of the show and I just caught the tail end of it, I just had a question for the brother pertaining to something that he had just spoke on. And that question is, if Prophet Noble Drew Ali, whom all praises are due, if he established the Moorish Science Temple of America, where one can go proclaim their nationality at, then it is indeed a fact that ones did proclaim their nationality in the Moorish Science Temple of America, starting from its inception. Then why is it necessary to have another venue where Moors can go proclaim their nationality? It sounds like to me that many Moors have lost faith in the prophet. And I'm just trying to get a handle on why is there a need for any other venue besides the Moorish Science Temple of America, Moorish Bureau of Vital Statistics, or anything of that nature, to give a man his nationality when the prophet already laid out the guidelines? I'm just trying to find an answer to that question right there.
Okay, Grand Sheik, when you ask that question, I'm going to go ahead and mute your brother unless you have an additional question.
No, not at all.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and mute you. And Grand Sheik, you care to answer that for the brother?
Oh, yes, and I'm glad he asked that. Well, one thing, brother, we're not dissing the prophet at all, because everything that I've said is upholding the prophet. But see, the problem is that a lot of Moors don't understand Act 6. There are major degrees in Act 6. And see, like, the thing is, the prophet was on point with everything I'm saying. But like I said, I haven't got to certain parts of this to make this connection. But oh no, I mean, we all are the more science symbol of America. That's why, see, when the prophet laid the foundation, he did it in stages. First, it was the Canaanite temple, the Moorish holy temple science, and the Moorish science symbol of America, the Moorish science symbol incorporated. But the Moorish divine and national movement was generated in 1916, the divine and national movement. We ain't changing anything. All we doing is getting the people to see the importance of coming into the movement. And see, when you read, if you go into the 47th chapter of the Holy Quran, and you deal with Ayah 14, where it says, every subordinate temple of the Grand Major Temple is to form under the covenant of love, truth, peace, freedom, and justice, and create their own laws and customs in conjunction with the laws of the Holy Prophet and the Grand Major Temple. So we're not changing anything. All we're doing is furthering the process of freedom that the prophet brought. So let me continue to explain it. See, when he says slavery ended in 1865, the question is what happened? And if you ask the average person, being that he says slavery ended in 1865, the question is, what's the law of that freedom? That's what we don't know. We don't know the law of that freedom. But we should. It's a must. Because when you read the process of freedom and find out what the law of freedom is, then you see why the prophet had to establish a religious organization, an affidavit, because religion is law and law is religion. But the question is, we don't know our true religion. We didn't know it until the prophet came. But the 13th Amendment with its 20 sections gave us the foundation to understand that something has been amiss pertaining to our consciousness on how to get back to our true religion. For instance, when you look at the First Amendment, it says everybody had the right to worship, you know, your religious freedom. But it don't tell you about your consciousness. But when you look at the 13th Amendment with 20 sections, Section 1, it says everybody have the right to worship God according to their own consciousness. We don't have our own consciousness. We have someone else. That's why we're in the church. And the prophet teaches us to get Christianity in the church back. That's not the religion of our ancestors. We are Hebrew Muslims here in the West because all of our ancestors were Muslims. When you go to the 101 deal with Adam and Eve, it says,
Hold on one more second. Grant Sheehy, just hold that there one more second. What I'm going to do now is since the we're down in the final hour, I'm going to open up these lines, starting with area code 347 and area code 585, and we're going to leave these lines open. So if there's questions, and we'll ride on out with this thing, you can take up where we left off at.
Islam,
area code 347. Hold on one second, brother.
Yes, sir.
Area code 585. Okay, area code 347.
Islam.
Where you calling from?
Islam.
All right. Okay, you got a question.
I'm calling from Rochester.
Okay, what's your question?
Islam. I had a question as far as the as far as how we're going to come together as a people, at the United Nations. I'm hearing this, we're supposed to go to the United Nations, and I wanted to know how we're going to come together, collectively, and go to the United Nations.
Okay, before we get to you, 585, could you hold on, let the Grant Sheik answer that?
Islam.
Yes.
Islam.
Grant Sheik.
We're not going to the United Nations.
Islam.
Go ahead, Grant Sheik.
Okay, which question do you want me to continue to deal with? This most recent one or the one I was on?
With his brother, he was asking a question about the UN.
Okay, well, let me just say this about the UN. Man, during the prophet's time, so see, you got to remember, during the prophet's time, we were under common law. Not under common law now. The prophet was in the nation, within the UN. And see, the UN is not for us. I have a seat in the UN. I have my ID badge. I've had it for the last 8 years. There was the Ethiopian Federation came here to meet with us, and we did a ceremony with them, and they brought me up to New York, carried me through a ceremony in their society. Then we went over to the UN, you know, to get a seat. And when I read their charter, the UN charter, now I got my ID and everything. But then I saw something that says NGO. That means non-governmental organization. Man, we're not a non-governmental organization. And then when I saw what this UN was all predicated on, it's a joke. Because if the UN was so much as it claims to be, there's no way in the world, as a collective, they would allow our people to be slaughtered, starving to death in these various countries. So they have every right to come in and shut these rebels down and do what's right for the people, but they don't do that because they're all part of the scheme. And like I said, they are being controlled by the Illuminati, the IMF, they are in control of the UN. And all these countries is in the pocket. That's why they can go in, and if you got a puppet president there, he's going to do whatever they tell him to do. And if he's for the people, they're going to get rid of him, just like they've done. And they only want to do this because their interest is in the resources of that land. And if you ain't talking their talk, then they assassinate you and put their own people there, and then they just usurp everything. But my point is, then with the, I'm not even thinking about the UN. Because, see, the prophet has a government authority here. He has a mandate to all of North America. And what validates the mandate is the charter itself. More signs, Symbol, Divine and National Movement of North America Incorporated, number 13, Warning Dispensation. The charter number is 1099. You can't go no higher than that. Because that's divine. And, see, the UN can't do nothing for us. We have to do it for ourselves because we government. We more government than anybody. And the reason why, because if you ask the average person, are you a citizen of this government, you'd be surprised the array of answers that you get. So my question when people answer whether they say yes or no, but if they're going to tell me yes that they're a citizen, then I'm going to say what law makes you a citizen? That's what they don't know. The only law that makes anybody a citizen in this government is the 14th Amendment. Now, our prophet teaches us in the warning of 1928, because he warned all of us back then. The warning of 1928 is the national side of his movement, but a lot of temples don't even go into the book. They don't teach it. The movement is both divine and national. They come together. It's just like the Vatican. They divine and national. They mirrored what the prophet did because they didn't have their creation until that same year that the prophet got the mandate. And they divine and national. But the only thing that the Vatican have up on us is that they are together and the Moors are not. They government. That's why the prophet said he has the government. All he needs is the people. So, man, let's get back to this 14th Amendment. About citizenship, even if you say you're more. Man, the prophet gave us a foundation. He said that you are a citizen of the U, period, S, period, A, period, Prophet Noble Drew Ali. And when you say U, period, S, period, A, period, that means we the people. And you are a citizen up under his divine authority. So if the prophet is telling us that the 14th and 15th Amendments are not applicable to us, and why all these temples or everything up on the moral science is under the 14th Amendment. See, we can't play both hands. The 14th Amendment is de facto. The 15th Amendment is de facto. And even the 13th Amendment. He didn't say the 13th Amendment. And being that he didn't say the 13th Amendment, we got to look at this 13th Amendment. But the question is, which one? If you look at the one that's on the books, it don't reference anything pertaining to slavery. You don't see no word referencing slavery, freedom, nor do you see any word referencing the abolishment of slavery. You don't see it. Something is wrong with that picture. They play the word game because that's not the amendment that the states ratify. That don't give us nothing. But when you look at the 1320, you see it all there. Now, if he's telling us the 14th and 15th is not applicable to us. Why? Because the 14th Amendment deals with civil rights. The 15th Amendment deals with voting rights. You have your voting rights in Section 3 of the 1320. Now, the 1320 and the proclamations correlate with those first seven articles. It's the Mosaic Code. Those proclamations is the Mosaic Code in layman's terms. That the Mosaic Code governs the planet. All the laws that you see on the books of scripture law is the Hebrew law, but they just codified. But our ancestors set this thing up. But in order for you to be proper, then you got to do what the law says. Didn't the prophet say we got to enforce the law to save the nation? But what law is he talking about? If he's saying the 14th and 15th is not applicable to it, then what law is he talking about? You got to look at this 13th Amendment with 20 sections. And the reason why they don't put it out, because it gives us everything that we need to sustain ourselves as a nation. And so.
Okay. All right. Well, just hold that point right there. Now, I'm going to go back to area code 585, but I had to mute you because there was a great deal of background noise, so I'm going to reopen up area code 585, and please make sure you got your background noise under control. Okay? Area code 585.
Islam,
brother. Okay, what's your question? First of all, tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Islam. You hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Islam, this is Brother Sheikh Kareem Yusuf Kornegay Bey. I'm the New York representative of the Morsan Temple, Divine National Movement Corporate Number 13, the Morsan American National Republic.
Okay.
I just wanted to add on to what the Grand Sheikh is saying, because it was a brother who came on a call. He asked, why do we have to have any other venue than what the Prophet set up? I just want to give a brief demonstration. What our Grand Sheikh is demonstrating is that after the Prophet transcended in 1933, they had what they called the New Deal Democracy, was called the bankruptcy, which is a fraudulent bankruptcy. So therefore, they started dealing with adhesion contracts. So therefore, when the Moors went into the Moor Science Temple and proclaimed the nationality, got a nationality card, they was protected under the Prophet's divine authority. But after the bankruptcy, and with these adhesion contracts, the game has switched around now. So now Moors couldn't just go into the temple, get a nationality card, and was protected because they had all these adhesion contracts that Moors began to sign, still in their birthright. So in 1940, our grand Richard Dingle L and his brother Timothy Dingle L, they went to Selective Services and met with the General Hershey's and Swartz and established the Morris National Bureau of Vital Statistics. And the reason they went to the military, because when you read the initial Emancipation Proclamation, it said that the military is to recognize and maintain our freedom, and that they have control of all the vital records in this country. So the reason they went to the military to start the Morris National Bureau of Statistics, because it was in accord with the initial Emancipation Proclamation of Abraham Lincoln, so that we would be recognized by the federal government, but not.
Go ahead. Hello? Okay, I'm going to open up area code 706. Area code 706.
Islam, this is Lord Abba again. I was just listening to the brother's explanation as to why. And, you know, he was talking about adhesion contracts and things of that nature. I mean, when you go back and look at things like the Naturalization Act of 1790, you know, this was done so that nationals from other nations can come through here and go through a process to proclaim their nationality. Being that the ancient Moabites were already on this land and they were labeled with the terms Negro, Blacks, Colored, Ethiopians, etc., in that time, the Act of 1865, which actually freed the slaves, the Emancipation Proclamation, right? What that did was give us a state of statelessness. We were then a stateless people because we had no national descent. This is where the adhesion contracts came in, that under the 14th Amendment, then comes our prophet Noble Drew Ali, who says, I came right on time, and established all of these different movements and called them one. And that was the Morris Science Temple of America, where we were to go to proclaim our nationality as Morris Americans. And if this is the case, then there is absolutely no need, or was no need, for the Dingle L brothers to go set up a Morris Vital Bureau of Statistics. And to me, that said that they did not have faith in what Prophet Noble Drew Ali had established. Now, a lot of this stuff, it sounds good, you know, when you hear brothers saying it, but when you kind of crack the veneer on it, it doesn't hold any weight to a feather. So, you know, if the brother could explain a little bit further and enhance my understanding or just pretty much prove what I'm saying wrong, I would be greatly appreciative. Islam.
Islam, my brother, I'm going to have to mute out the mics now because I can't control the background noise, and I'm going to open up area code 347. So, Grand Sheedy, if you just hold on a second, we'll get back to you.
Okay.
Let me open this up.
Islam,
area code 347. Tell us who you are and where you're calling from, and what's your question or comment?
Islam, I'm going to make a response to the brother.
Could you tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
This is Brother Sheikh Kareem Yusuf, Corner Gate Bay, New York Republic. After 1933, with the fraudulent bankruptcy, when Moors got a went into the Moorsan Temple and proclaimed nationality and get a nationality card, you still subjected to the foreign jurisdiction. That's happened to this day. Many of us go to the Moorsan Temple and get a nationality card, but we still subjected to foreign jurisdiction. The Dingle brothers saw what was happening and countered this based upon the prophet's authority. When he went to the selective services to establish the Moorish National Bureau of Vital Statistics, they first denied them. So the prophet said, "I give you two things to save yourself." He held up the Holy Quran and the questionnaire. So when they established the Moorish National Bureau of Vital Statistics, see, they used the Holy Quran and the questionnaire. So the questionnaire is an affidavit, was a lawful legal document to establish the Moorish National Bureau of Vital Statistics. This counted the foreign, the international bankers' plan, because now by them establishing this Moorish National Bureau of Vital Statistics, they could all the Moors could be recognized according to their nationality with all states and nations. It counted what they were doing. And you got to understand that in 1938, the Moorsan Temple name was changed to Moorsan Temple, Divine National Movement Incorporated, or the Moorish American, the Moorsan Temple, Divine National Movement North America, by a brother by the name of F. Turner L., who was known as the International Grand Sheikh, who founded the Moroccan United Organization Federation, who was represented for all Moroccans in America. He was the one that gave the charter to Grand Sheikh Richard Dingle L. And in 1938,
okay, brother, hold on. I appreciate that, but let me get back to the Grand Sheikh and appreciate you calling in for your questions and comment. Okay.
Yes, sir.
The time is
up.
Thank you, brother. Peace. Okay, Grand Sheikh, you are still. I hope you still have your place. And go ahead and finish with what you were saying. If you want to address some of the comments that the brothers brought up, go ahead.
Okay, I'm gonna continue on with the last caller just stated, Brother Sheikh Conley Bay out of New York, and he was making reference to the Moorish National Bureau of Vital Statistics. See, let me just read something to you, and then see during this time when this was set up. There was no Social Security Administration. It was called Federal Security Agency. And through their effort, when they met with the Social Security Administration, the school board, and the motor vehicles division. And they set a process up for all the Moors to follow. And this was back in the 40s. And it was a certain form that was supposed to be used mainly and by just for the Moors, and it was a form called OAAN-7003. That's called the Old Age Account Number. Now, when Grand Sheikh Richard Dingle and his brother Tim met with the generals, General Hersey, General Swartz in London, back in the 40s to establish the Moorish National Bureau of Vital Statistics, and this is what it says. It says, "Be it known to all whom may concern, that has been approved by Prophet Noble Drew Ali," this is the reincarnated Prophet John Gibbonsville, November 3rd, 1940, the founder of the Moorish National Bureau of America, who at this time lives at 447 East 40th Street, Chicago, Illinois. that I, Richardson Dingle, will have been approved by Prophet Noble Swatley to carry out a system which I have founded of having all the records of the Moorish Americans changed throughout the U period, S period, A period, etc. The purpose of this system is to remove diluted names off documents issued to members of the Moorish Science Temple of America Incorporated by the authorities of the state, states, and nations, and to have their origin rectified on their documents, and also to provide a convenient way for the members who already have various documents in their possession to notify the authorities of the corrections and changes that have been made to the Moorish Science Temple of America Incorporated. Now, this is a process. See, now, even though we say we Moors, but we're not citizens of this government, and all you got to do is look at your birth certificate. Now, lately, they don't put your racial designation on your birth certificate, but they got us coded. But if you look at your parents, I guarantee you're going to see black, Negro, colored on it. So if the Civil War ended in 1865, black died, colored died, and all these terms that illegal slavery died with it, why do we still have black, Negro, and colored on our birth certificates? The reason why, people, is because we did not go through the process of naturalization, even though we've been here all the time, but we fell. And the proof of it is look at your birth certificate. Now, you say you Moorish. How come you don't have your Moorish titles at your birth? How come you still carry the man's name, Jones, Williams, et cetera? That's not us. That's him. So,
well let me ask you this, Grand Sheik, let me ask you this. Okay, now, we know we got the birth certificate, and we know that on my birth certificate it has Negro colored and for my parents and my mother's listed as a informant instead of parent or guardian, but so that would border on denationalization, wouldn't it?
No. What it is, see, that just proves that it's been a conspiracy. You see, this is one of the greatest conspiracies of all time. And any time a people can steal your birthright, and how our birthrights are being stolen is via the 14th Amendment. Now, see, another thing that the people don't know is that when the 13th Amendment, which was 22nd, was finally ratified November 18th, 1865, what was supposed to take place, we were supposed to have been living a life accordingly. Didn't happen. Now, when you look at your birth certificate, as you said, you got Negro, black, or colored on it. Now, there's a law book that's called Negro the Beast, and this book came into existence in the year 1900. Why 1900? Because that was the deadline that the states had to certify the whole emancipation process. That's why they call it a gradual emancipation. But through the conspiracy, it didn't hold because, see, the government was being run for 3 years according to the Emancipation Proclamation and the 13th Amendment with 20 sections from 1865 to 1868, because the 14th Amendment didn't come on the scene until 1868. So what was the government being run by for those 3 years? It was the proclamations and the 1320, and the reason why, because that was generated through the Freedmen's Bureau Act. Dealing with the Freedmen's Bureau Act, we don't supposed to be paying for our homes. We don't supposed to be paying for our education, because these were provisions that were set aside for us. That's what brought about Spelman, Bethune-Cookman, Morehouse, and all of those age-added schools that's in the South. It was generated through the Freedmen's Bureau Act. But see, we were supposed to be educated to ourselves, not somebody else. But that didn't happen. When they emancipated us, they didn't tell us who we were. We still came out as Negroes. But yet we fought a war to get rid of that. But by the powers being what they are, they kept this conspiracy going because they didn't want to pay the South. They wanted to continue to pay, punish the South. But we was in the Congress during this time. We had representatives in the Congress because the educated ones, like Frederick Douglass and the colored delegation, they were the ones that the president was calling on to try to get some type of understanding about how and why they should contact our people as a collective and let them know that we need to be colonized and to be compensated. But Frederick Douglass sold us out. He said, oh, no, you know, just getting the right to vote. And then they were saying, like the president said, they were holding. Then this is President Johnson. But even President Lincoln called in the colored delegation, and you'll find that out when you read, if someone can get the book, The Great Conspiracy by John A. Logan, and you go to the chapter that's called Freedom Proclaimed to All, then you'll see in that chapter where he called in the colored delegation, and it was explained to him about the colonization. But they didn't want it. And after he was assassinated, then President Johnson picked up on it, and he told Frederick Douglass and the colored delegation then, I'll be your Moses. Get your people together, and I'll be your Moses. We can go to then we can go to the Promised Land. But no, they didn't want that. And that conspiracy still festers to this day because we met with the Black Cox back in the 80s. John Conyers was the spearhead person, and when we started talking about the compensation Emancipation Proclamation, he flipped it and came in with the reparations piece. That's how y'all got to be talking about reparations, through him. But they met with us, and they said we were right, but they was afraid of losing their job. Isn't that something? You don't see the Black Caucus doing anything anytime they're going to call us up a Black Caucus? How come you don't hear them making no waves about what's going on? They can't do anything. Why? Because their numbers are very limited. You only got maybe 40 of them, and you got over 500 Europeans sitting in the seats. But actually, those seats are supposed to be more seats. Because for every 30,000 of us, we're supposed to have a representative. That's why the Morris Bureau Vice System was established, to get our numbers. But no, the more say, oh, the problem, we don't need no variable vice system. You're not going to get your true identity satisfied in his house. Now, going back to the Bureau of Vice Statistics now, the Dingle Ill brothers, and they had all this confirmed through the government. And I got the documents. The government said that for the Moors always to be registered and have their nationality card. So, man, this is what it says dealing with this bureau, where the prophet took the 101, I mean, the Dingle brothers took the 101 and the Circle 7 to finalize the process of facilitating the bureau, the Morse National Bureau of Vice Statistics. Now, check this out. He says, for the reason the noble Juwai Lee, the prophet, ordained Richardson Dingle Ill in order to carry out this system, because there is a misunderstanding about the prophet's teachings among the members of the Morris Ensemble of America Incorporated. Then it says, for that purpose, the reason the following persons were appointed as presiding officers according to the rules and usages of such Morris National Bureau of Vice Statistics, to solemnly affirm that at a meeting of the members, Richardson Dingleill, John E. McQueen Bay, Daniel Lee Bay, D.T. Crowell Bay, etc., the Morris National Bureau of Vice Statistics, deriving its power and authority from the 47th chapter of the Holy Quran of the Morris Holy Temple of Signs, beginning at 9, 10, 11, and 12 verse, and the Morris Questionnaire, page 5, questions 90 and 91. Now, he got the two books. He's breaking down our origin to satisfy this process, the system of change, because we have to change. This man ain't going to change you. You got to do it yourself. So then it says, dictates as follows. Number 9. According to all true and divine records of the human race, there is no Negro, black, or colored race attached to the human family, because all the inhabitants of Africa were and are of the human race, descendants of the ancient Canaanite nation from the Holy Land of Canaan. Now, you ain't going to find this in no school out there. They're not going to teach you about you. That's why the Creator had to send us our prophet, like he's always did, to show his love for us and our sinful ways. We've always been stubborn, but he's always shown his love by sending us the prophets at an appointed time to wake us up and get us back on point. And that is because we have to get back to the covenants and statutes and laws that he gave us to establish through all out of humanity, because Moses was a Levite. He was charged to disseminate the laws to the house of Israel. And these laws still is applicable to this very day. That's why we're in this predicament, because we're not adhering to the laws of the Creator. Then it says, what your ancient forefathers were, you are today without a doubt or contradiction. There is no one who is able to change man from the descent nature of his forefathers unless his power extends beyond the universal creator Allah himself. Number 12. These holy divine laws are from the prophet Noble Juwali, the founder of the United of the Most Holy Temple of Science of North America. The questionnaire on page 5, questions 90 and 91, dictates as follows. Can a man be a Negro, black, colored, or Ethiopian? No. Why? Because man is made in the image and after the likeness of Allah. Number 4. I, Richardson Dingle, adopted as a corporate name for the above system the following. The Morris National Bureau of Vital Statistics, held at 1406 Lawn Street, and the meeting of fine acted as presiding officer, subscribed and affirmed to before me the 30th day of November, A.D., 1942, Richardson Dingle Hill. Then got the notice. So, man, why would the Moors want to negate a bureau that's going to satisfy our needs? You can't get your racial designation straight in his house, not unless you have a court order. You don't need a court order to make a name change, but that's a name change. But what about your racial designation? Now, the reason why the bureau was established is because you got to return his name, this man's name, and everything belonged to him back. That's why when you read the description on the bell, Leviticus 25:10, it says to return to every man.
Okay, well, let me hold on right there. Let me ask you a question, Grand Sheik, here now, and so I can make sure that I got this right. And so you're saying that we have with the Social Security cards, we have birth certificates, we have driver's license, and these things. Mm-hmm. We are supposed to return these things to the current United States of American government, which is a corporation.
Well, let me explain that. When I say return, the first thing you got to get straight is that birth certificate. That's where they use this, because they monetize the birth certificate as a monetary instrument, and they sell this all around the world. Because why?
Okay.
Because we chattel property. We're not human beings. Because see, once you have accepted these marks of slavery, you have dehumanized yourself. You're not even a human being. And that's when I was getting ready to go into the book, The Negro, the Beast, to read something that this law could see. I'm going to tell you something. These Europeans are going according to the law. They're going according to the Hebrew code. They're going according to the law of the Negro, the Beast. They're going according to, because, see, the law says the Negro has no rights that a white man is bound to respect. So the reason why the book, the law book, was instituted in the year 1900 by Charles Curl, it took an act of Congress to establish this process here, dealing with this Negro, the Beast, because the mark of the beast is the Negro. But check this out. Now, this is going to explain why we're catching all this hell, dealing with everything that we try to do under this banner. Now, like I said, this is a law book, and see, when we did not adhere to the timeline by the year 1900. See, actually, the government lost their mandate then, because Lincoln gave them 37 years to straighten this mess out. And he said it's easy to pay a smaller sum while you have it, as to try to pay a larger sum when they don't have it. See, they owe us. They owe us. But see, the slaveholder got to be compensated first. And that's why the South was mad. That's what brought about the Ku Klux Klan, Jesse James, and all of them, because they never got paid for their property, human property. And that's why the Southern states never ratified the 14th Amendment. They'd have been fools if they did. If they ratified the 14th Amendment, then that means that they was cutting themselves off from receiving their compensation. And they ain't going to do that. But it was forced on them. It was forced on them because the radical element at that time, and then us who was in the Congress, we was in there shooting crap, gambling, and doing all kind of stuff. If you get the movie Birth of a Nation, you'll see all what I'm talking about. And then the Europeans took it back. Then they came in with the Civil Rights Act. But check this out. But see, the great men of that era knew that the 13th Amendment with two sections, 14th and 15th Amendments, was unconstitutional. Because if they was truly part of the Constitution, they couldn't declare it unconstitutional and void. Why? Because the Constitution is perpetual. But see, when you look at Article 6, of the Constitution, it says anything contrary is notwithstanding. So being that the 14th Amendment, Section 4, violates the 5th Amendment, then that automatically makes it null and void because it's contrary. It says anything contrary is notwithstanding.
What are we to do with these instruments of our ownership? What are we to do with the birth certificate?
Well,
those
you
of us
see,
have birth certificate
okay,
in opposition.
Like I said, see, I was getting to that, but I'm leading up to that. So we see in our venue. What we have our members do, so you got to register yourself, number one. We institute a certificate of registration. We institute the oath of amnesty and reconstruction, and then you get a declaration of live birth correction coming up on the policy of freedom. See, we don't know nothing about the policy of freedom. The average person don't even know the policy of that freedom. If you ask the average person, well, then we came out of slavery, then what's the law that frees you? They don't know. And it all deals with citizenship. That's why I was reading that Levitical code. See, we're not citizens. And if you ask anybody, are you a citizen of the government, whether you say you are more or not, I'm going to say, okay, more you're a citizen, then what law makes you a citizen? That's where you're going to have a problem. Because the only law that makes you a citizen is the 14th Amendment. So if the prophet is teaching us that 14th Amendment is not applicable to us, then why are we there? Then we got to look somewhere else in order to validate our citizenship. That's what this Hebrew or this Levitical code represents. That's why it's on the belt. That belt is designated for us. That's really where Mount Sinai is. That's where the laws was given. That was in the year 1490 B.C., where that was given. And the belt is never to be moved because it's sacred. But see, we don't know all this history. So anyway, dealing with this process, if you go back to that Levitical code. Now, no, but before I go there, let me read about this thing about this Negro and why we catching all this hell. It says, now remember, this is a law.
Before we go there, let me give a quick break because the time is fleeting. I'm going to start off by saying, for those of you who are just tuning in to the broadcast, we are listening to my guest is a Grand Sheik Joel Bratton Bey of the Morris Science Temple of the Divine and National Movement of North America Incorporated, Temple 13, Morris American National Republic, and he's given us a complete breakdown on the Morris Americans in the National Republic, and also I would like to add that and this is very, very important for those of you who are in Jacksonville, Florida. On the 19th and 20th of this month, the month of March, we are going to have here in Jacksonville, Florida, Dr. Kaba Hawatha Kamin. You better know him as Dr. Booker T. Coleman. He's going to be speaking here in Jacksonville, Florida, and he will also be accompanied by our brother Joseph Coswell. And this will happen at Masjid al-Salam at 1625 North Pearl Street here in Jacksonville, Florida. That's Masjid al-Salam at 1625 North Pearl Street. And tickets are available now. And you can contact Brother Umar Sharif at area code 904-359-0980. And you can get your tickets there. The brother has a beautiful bookstore. And there's a great deal of information there in book form, CDs, DVDs, black soap, moisturizing lotions, 100% imported oils, African gold, blackstone, breeze, Kali breeze, Nuora, and silver, cashmere, herbal teas, new body products, hair pomade, incense, golden seal, comfrey salve, and you can access his website at www.salammasjid.com, and either you can contact him in person, Brother Umar Sharif, at area code 904-359-0980. Also, I would like to add, the time is fleeting here, so I'm going to give the final announcements, and then we'll conclude this broadcast with the Grand Sheik. But for those of you who are on Facebook or Twitter or Dig or MySpace or Black Planet or any of these things, go ahead and hit me up there, and I'll grant you a friend request, especially if you're on Facebook. You can hit me at Tahaka Amana L. Bay, and we'll grant you friend requests, and that way you'll have access to my wall and the videos and articles and other stuff that we put there for your educational purpose. Also, I would like to say congratulations to all the brothers and sisters this month who have purchased the library. And the way you get a hold of that is area code 904-303-9061. Just contact me before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we'll get that to you. Or you can send me a quick email at tahaka99@yahoo.com. That's tahaka99@yahoo.com. And also just request my free article, The 14th Amendment Exposed, as well as The Commerce Game, and we'll get that out to you as an email attachment. Okay? And I just want to put that out. So 19th and 20th, Booker T. Coleman here in Jacksonville, Florida. Brother Joe Caldwell, right there at Masjid Al Salam, 1625 North Pearl Street. Contact Umar Sharif, 904-359-0980. Now we're going back, and we're going to conclude this broadcast with the Grand Sheikh Joel Bratton Bay of the Morris Science Temple of Divine and National Movement of North America, Incorporated, Temple Number 13, Morris American National Republic. Okay, brother. I hope you hold your place. So come on, let's go ahead.
Okay. Well, like I said, well, I just basically was finished with the Morris Bureau, and it's very important because, see, we're not citizens. Like I said, you can't be a citizen under this de facto government. That's why the prophet was very keen in what he was saying. And, see, I'm going to show you how he tied back into the proclamations. Like I said, the proclamation was a divine contractual agreement. And just to show that he fulfilled the prophecy, and then check the years out, man. Now, they were supposed to satisfy our total emancipation by the year 1900. Didn't happen. Prophet was born in 1886. Now, there was a Supreme Court decision, civil rights decision, and it was all about 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments being unconstitutional. And they voided these amendments out in the year 1886. The case number was 109 U.S. 3. And if you also look at the case State versus Phillips, Dodd versus Turner, all three of these cases validate the fact that the 14th Amendment was never probably ratified. So we've been living a lie all these years, thinking we citizens, thinking we this, thinking we that, but it was all a money game. It's all about the finance. And they're using us because we're the nucleus behind it all. And how they got it is through that birth certificate. See, this whole thing is about immunity and jurisdiction. So in order for us to come from under his jurisdiction, you got to come with the law of freedom. If you're free, then you're free. But see, when you read the 13th Amendment with two sections, like I said, I'll read it to you real quick. Because it's important for us to understand what's going on here. This thing is deep, and it's very serious. And like I said, this is one of the greatest conspiracies of all time. The 13th Amendment with two sections only says this: neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime, whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. Then Section 2, Congress shall have power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. That's bogus, too, because Congress already has established the power to enforce anything. That's in Article 1, the first paragraph. So the question is, then, where's your freedom? How come they ain't talking about no freedom? Where is the abolishment of slavery? So now, when you find that, when you go to 13th Amendment with 20 sections, now check this out. Section 19. Now listen to this. Because, see, you don't see this. And the reason why it's so hard to research, because the same vote count for the 13th Amendment with 20 sections you see for the 13th Amendment with two sections. Because they made a switch. But, see, the key of it is, on April the 1st, well, stemming from March 31st, 1864, then they took it to the Senate, and they passed the amendment. It was 38-6. On April the 8th or April the 9th, 1864. But when it went to the House the first time, it was rejected. But then Lincoln got them to reconsider it. And then on January 31st, 1865, the amendment was passed by two-thirds of the House, and the vote was 119 to 56, 8-9 voting. Then February the 1st, he signed it. But like I said, they assassinated him during the month of April, and Johnson picked up on it and ran it on through, and the states finally ratified. But then check this in Section 19. Then you're going to see the difference. Because, see, then the proclamations say that we are forever free. You don't see that language nowhere in the 13th Amendment 2 section, but now check this out, the 1320. It says, when all of the several states have abolished slavery, then and thereafter, slavery or involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for a crime, shall never be established or tolerated in any of the states or territories of the United States, and they shall be forever free. Now, the 1320 giving you the language of your freedom. It's telling you that slavery is never to be tolerated. It's been abolished. So here we are in 2012, and we're tolerating this foolishness about the slavery because we're still enslaved. We're still being held as slaves. And the proof that we're still being held as slaves, we're still carrying this man's name. Yeah, I'm a Moor, but I'm going to say, well, what law substantiates you, Moor? What law? Because, see, there's only three things that make a nation. It's his territory, his people, and his laws. We got the law. We got the nation. But we don't have the people. This law is absolute. The proclamation is not a debatable issue. It's a done deal. But we don't know nothing about it. Because we say the prophet didn't bring this. Okay, but let me get back to the prophet and see how he came into all of this. He gave us Acts 6. That's the key point. So, man, check it. 1900, the states were supposed to confirm all of this emancipation process. Didn't happen. So here come the creator. He sent us our prophet. He was born in 1886, 3 years after the decision of the Supreme Court nullifying the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment being unconstitutional. He came in 1886. But now, 1913, this was the deal. When you subtract 1913, from 1863, that's 50 years. So he fulfilled the prophecy on the inscription on the bell where it says, ye shall hollow within the 50th year. So the prophet's hollow in 1913 was, come all ye Ajax and hear the truth about your nationality and birthright. You're not black, Negro, color, etc. He took us back to 1865 to make us aware something's going on here. Something is going on. We don't supposed to be still calling ourselves, or labeling us that. You go into these government agencies, they give you a form, and what you see, Negro, black, Asian, white. You don't see you. You don't see no Asiatic on there.
So well, let me ask you this. Now, we know we got the Moorish Americans in the National Republic. If in your opinion, approximately how many temples across the country do the Moorish Science Temple have, and approximately how many members, in, roughly, do you think we have? Because you said we got the laws, we got the other stuff, but we didn't have the people. So approximately how many people is it going to take to constitute what we'll need to be recognized by other nations outside the country as a government?
Okay, well, let me just say this. Okay, one thing, we need representation in Congress. That's why the law says for every 30,000, we're supposed to have a representative. That's how Adam Clayton Powell got that seat, because he had 30,000 people out of New York to sign up for him to have that seat, and the same thing applies with us. That's why the prophet had these various temples scattered around so we could get the numbers. See, we're supposed to be in the majority because this is our land. We didn't come from nowhere, across no water. We was here all the time, but we fell. And just like in the Continental Convention of 1787, it was 35 Moors and 20 Anglo-Saxons, but 50 of us should have been there, but only 35 came. All the tribal chieftains of the so-called Indian tribe, they sent their representatives. That's what the union was all about. We represent that union because we was first. Everything came through us, and the Iroquois Federation is where this Constitution was built upon, stemming from that. There's more I can say, but I know we're dealing with the time. But when it comes down to the people, see, the thing is this. Rome going to force these Moors to come together. We're so divided. You got this group, that group, that group, this group. But see, I'm going to tell you something. The prophet is the key behind it all because he's the only one bought us nationality and birthright. He's the only one that the government recognized because he was the one who redeemed us through the laws coming back to the government. And the charter that he had superseded everything on this planet, to be truthful, because he's a divine entity. But we don't want to accept that. We didn't want to accept Jesus when he came. We didn't want to accept Moses. We didn't want to accept none of the prophets when they came. But this is it. What you were 10,000 years ago, you still that. We are descendants of a royal house. That's why these titles, Ill and Bay, is so significant. We're always going to have them titles. But the names that the Moors have changed, okay, well, they done got this name, that name, but you ain't done nothing to that birth certificate. Anybody can change the name, but your status is still the same. And that's our problem. It's how we've been classified and identified. And that's why this system was set up for us to make these changes correctly so we can stand up and fulfill the prophet's works. Know our God, because we didn't know our God until the prophet came. Even though the 1320 set it up where we can have our own consciousness, but we still didn't know it until the prophet blew the breath on us and said, hey, you special. Allah is the Hebrew God. We didn't know his name. We didn't know nothing about ourselves until the prophet came, because there's no educator out there. I don't care where you go to this day. Go in any school, any institution, say, hey, professor, tell me who I am. You ain't going to get it. And you're going to run away from the prophet? The government know who the prophet is, but we don't. He put everything in place. He said, now free yourself. But the question is, free yourself under what? You can't be free up under no 14th and 15th amendment or the 13th. There's nothing there for us. That's de facto. We are de jure. And we are the only true citizens in this government coming from the Moorish Republic. Why? Because we've taken the oath of man. We've taken us back to the Union Foundation, adhering to all the proclamations and all the laws pertaining and acts pertaining to slavery. That's why you got to take the oath. That's why General Lee and them had to take the oath to come back into the Union. And it still applies to us. Many people say, yeah, well, my people didn't have no slaves. It was over 150,000 of us fought with the South. But the thing is, by you not being a citizen, because if you got the 14th Amendment is the only law that makes you a citizen, dealing with this naturalization process, and that's been declared unconstitutional and void, so then what law are you going to use to validate your citizenship? You got to come with the laws of your ancestors, because that's where they derived it from. That's why it tells you in that Mosaic Code what to do. And it tells you that by complying with this requirement, we become what? Citizens. So what's wrong with you dealing with the naturalization process? It tells you in the law book that it deals with your nationality through birth. So when you look at your birth certificate and they got Negro, Black, and colored on it, how can you tie yourself back to your ancestors? They didn't call themselves that.
Well, let me ask you this, Grand Sheik. To the best of your knowledge, how many people, how many Moors inside the United States today have been free from prison by Moorish American National Republic government officials that you know of?
Well, let me put it to you this way. They have to be a member, number one, because, see, you got a whole lot of Moors using all kind of instruments, and it's causing a lot of confusion. We don't know. And, see, you got people doing this, you got people doing that. Even when we met with the FBI, they said, what they have determined about our movement is that it's a power struggle and it's about making money. Because so many people trying to make money off of this instrument, that instrument, and it ain't nothing working, it ain't going to work. You'll get by, but you won't get away. It's only, the law says it's only, this is the only remaining law. You can't go outside of this law to substantiate who you are. Then the membership is thousands out there, but they ain't functioning. But see, the reason why, because there's so much confusion. People say, oh, don't listen to this group, don't listen to that group. But see, my thing is this. Everything that I'm telling you all on this call, has been validated through the government. I'm talking about the United States of American government, because they done signed off on everything I'm saying to you all. I'm not telling you what I think, feel, or believe. I'm telling you what I know. I'm telling you what I know. This is the only way for us to go. And then what's wrong with it? When you look at the process that's in place as opposed to what's not in place, then you're going to have a problem with what's going to be beneficial to you. This is not what I'm saying. This is what the laws say. This is the missing piece that we don't know about. But it's set in stone. But you got to walk the walk.
I hear you.
And then,
well, Grant, we've come to the end of the broadcast. And I certainly appreciate you coming on and giving us this information. And perhaps in the future you can come back here with us. But I'm going to have to bring it to a close now. And I want to say thank you, and I really appreciate you being here, and I thank all the brothers that come on and put out their information and gave us their comments. And but I'm going to have to close it down now. And ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Grand Sheik Joe Bratton Bay of the Morris Science Temple of Divine and National Movement of North America Incorporated, Temple Number 13, Morris American National Republic. I have been your host. To Haka Amana El Bay, and the next time, you all have a good